Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It's the 5th of May, 2015. You know, and I was just thinking, I was thinking about this last night and then thinking about it even more this morning. We live in the Pacific Northwest, and in the area of the Pacific Northwest that we live, just a little bit north of us, there's a super high concentration of Hispanic people, not simply Mexican people or even Mexican Americans, but people from Honduras, people from Nicaragua, people that are Spanish speaking, and a lot of people that have come up from down south. And they go back down there. And I'm also saying a lot of people who are illegals, I'm sure, but they pick and they work in the valley up north of us, the Skagit Valley. And there's a high concentration, many Mexican restaurants. It's funny when my brother, my pastor, comes from California up here. If we go north, it probably looks to him just quite a bit like Southern California, where there's a super high concentration of Hispanics too. Of course, they're real close to Mexico, so, you know, but people can come from all the countries of Central America up through Mexico and up into the States. Now, all that said, there's been a lot of and a higher concentration of people focusing on today, because people would call today, what would they call it, Ray? Cinco de Mayo. Cinco de Mayo. So we get... You know, it's kind of like, I believe, and I don't even know, because I don't have to know. There's no reason really to know, but I think it's like the Independence Day of Mexico. I may be wrong. But it's just a time for them to celebrate. Well, we're not Mexico, and we're not Spanish, although that's there's more Spanish speaking people in the United States than there are English-speaking as first language. You know, when you make a phone call and it says, press 1 for English, no. I don't want to press 1 for English. I don't want to do that. If people can have another number, or there can be a number they can press 2 if they'd like to hear in a different language, and then give them a list of languages. But we live in the United States of America, and we speak English. That's our language here. So don't make me choose to speak English. You know, it's just bothersome to me. It's weird. But what it shows is over a long period of time, and I'm talking, you know, 50, 60 years, we're just really acclimated to saying, hey, a Cinco de Mayo, yeah, yeah. Well, that would be like celebrating the liberation of Uruguay or Paraguay or what. You know, it's like, what? It really doesn't have anything to do with what we're doing. Yet they got a huge following. And right where I'm sitting here, less than 1,000 feet from me, there's and if you go less than a mile from me, there's probably 3 or 4 restaurants that have got specials. I could probably walk over to the door right now, look across the street here, and see a restaurant that is a Mexican restaurant that probably has a special today because it's Cinco de Mayo. And they put all that in English, by the way. Another reason to bring people into your restaurant. I'm just saying that it's so bizarre how small little things turn into giant things. Little things turn into giant things. But what we do a lot is we think that little things really don't matter. I mean, whether we admit that or not, we think that little things don't matter. But you know what happens if you have just little pet peeves? Let's say you have a relationship with someone and you have a couple of small pet peeves that you never talk to that person about, okay? Because you feel you shouldn't, or it's just, you know, you're the one that's goofy, so you're not going to, you know. But if you start building 3 or 4 or 5 or 9 or 11 or 21 of them, if you have all these pet peeves against someone and never deal with them and never try to, you know, come to some kind of agreement about whatever you're going to do with them, they'll explode one day and that relationship will be completely devastated and probably not reclaimed. That's how it works. Now, it doesn't mean every time you have a little pet peeve, you got to go to that person and tell about your pet peeve, but it does mean that little things can be compounded, and once they are enough of them, they'll explode. So I think that what we need to do is take all these things to Christ. We need to take everything to Christ. You don't, when it's, I have somebody that's struggling with some stuff, and they said, but you told me, you've always said to take your thoughts captive. I go, yeah, but when you hear that, that doesn't mean you grab a hold of your bad thoughts, evil thoughts, wicked thoughts, and just hold on to them. I mean, that's what you think captivity is. You captive them, take them captive. But what it means is you have those things that are in you that you're dealing with, and you take them and you bring them to the Lord. Lord, deal with me on this. Show me what to do on this. How should I handle this? Take them to the Lord. You don't take them captive and then handle it yourself. You bring it to Christ. Bring all things to Christ. And so you're struggling through those things. Now, I was reading this morning, and I love it when I read some ministry notes. And I'm not going to read the whole story. It's an interesting story, perception, opinion, as it were. There's a site called Concerning the Times. It's literally concerningthetimes.com. And the note, and this actually was published yesterday, but it's called Get Ready for Persecution in the West by a guy named Howard Green. Now, I don't even know him, and I may not have anything really in common with him, but I really love the way he wrote this, and it, you got to dig in a little bit. You got to go into his article a little bit. And he's talking about some things, because we need to understand that when we see the thing that happened yesterday about the Muhammad cartoon thing, okay, that's one thing. But when we're talking about the persecution of Christians merely because they're Christians, now that's happening, and we're not paying attention to it as much, and it certainly isn't getting any kind of airtime on the mainstream media. But it's happening. It's happening in our country already, and it has been happening for a number of years. So they're small little things, but they are building. And I love what this guy said. Listen to what he said. Yeah, just a few paragraphs in. You have to get into the article to hear it. In fact, I'm going to read the start of what he said. Okay, listen. The ongoing persecution of Christians has been a sad reality in many parts of the world. Brutality at the hands of those who want to extinguish Christians, state-sanctioned violence, and Islamic extremists all play a sad role. Persecution has been something Christians here tend to dismiss as an over-there issue. He says, I firmly believe there is a trend being established in the Western world. It's subtle in nature, but if you are carefully watching what is going on in media, entertainment, government, and sadly, some ministries, you will discern that the tide of public opinion is rapidly turning against true, Bible-believing Christians. It is time for the followers of Jesus to get ready for persecution in the West. Now, I don't like using that term, but the way it was used here is very good, because there's all these people saying, I'm a Christ follower, I'm a Jesus follower, but they're not ready for persecution. They'll just back up and let people have their way. He says, it goes on to say this, to be certain, unlike us, our brothers and sisters are facing severe persecution in many parts of the world. Here's what they're facing, he says, beatings, starvation, beheadings, burned homes, burned churches. These have been a few of the everyday life items for them. I want to ask you to stand in prayer for them, because they have placed everything on the line for faith in Jesus. They are family, and we are called to support each other. And on this guy's page, he does a link to the Voice of the Martyrs, and we've been involved with the Voice of the Martyrs before. And they do some wonderful work. And they have other ministries around here. Now, I love this next paragraph. If you had to get in that far, if you stopped reading, you'd lose it. And I know that the title of our program is Living According to God's Word in Today's World. Well, the scripture that we're going to look at here is John 15:18. Watch this. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. We have this thought that as Christians, we can kind of slide under the radar. Yeah, they tortured Jesus, but he did that for me. Yeah, they hung him on a cross, but he did that for me. I don't have to go to the cross, and I don't have to undergo any torture because Jesus did that for me. But that's not what he said. He said his servant is not greater than his master. In other words, if you are absolutely committed to your master, then you're going to do the very same thing he did, no matter what it cost him. And we're saying, yeah, but they're not going to do that to me. It's not going to happen to me. And, you know, besides, we're mellowing out here. But Jesus promised in John chapter 15 that we would be hated by the world. And what the church is trying to do every day is be loved by the world. How that came about, in the last 30 years, has been the seeker-friendly church. It's actually been before that, but that's when it got real hot and heavy, about 30 years ago. Seeker-friendly. In other words, we'll remove the blood, we'll remove the cross, we'll remove the conviction, we'll just have great songs, good lattes, nice little talks. And now we have join the conversation, and we have a talk. We aren't coming in hearing sermons that are convicting from the Word of God that are showing you as a sinner that you need to change your ways. And the only way for that to happen is through the power, the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit of God in you, of God in you, to bring you into a right relationship with Jesus that will then in turn bring you in a right relationship with God the Father. And you turn from your wicked ways. Remember what it said in 2 Chronicles, people who are called by my name will hear, you know, if they hear me, if they turn. It's not just, if you hear me, that'll be good, and you'll be good people, and you can follow me. Turn from their wicked ways. Repent. See, repentance is being removed. You know, just golly, all you income free. Come any way you want. That's not what Jesus said in John 15, 18. They're going to hate you. Why? Because you're not going to be of the world. You're going to be in it. You'll be right next to the person that's in it and of it. And you're in it and not of it. And it's going to be so diametrically opposed that people are going to be very uncomfortable. So the world itself, the people that are really, really, really racked into the world, are not going to like you. And they're not going to want to be around you. Now, he said this, and this is what got me. Before we dig in, I want to make a quick distinction about timing, and this is extremely important. Because I'm so attached to this paragraph that he wrote. I could have wrote it. Listen. One thing I firmly abhor is date setting and making ridiculous, unbiblical predictions about last day's events. You ask my wife if that kind of stuff fires me up or what. When I say that persecution is coming, I'm referring to the hate and actions of a godless world against Christians. And that's here, now. Okay? He says, I'm not referring to the persecution that will certainly take place during the last half of Daniel's 70th week under Antichrist. Look how he wrote that. The persecution takes place during the last half of Daniel's 70th week under Antichrist. He doesn't say tribulation. He says the last half of the 70th week. Or what that actually could be said is the last half of the 7 years. That's the 70th week of Daniel, the 7 years where there's supposed to be a peace treaty amongst all the nations in Israel, basically all the world and Israel. And there's 3.5 years in, things are looking pretty good, but the last 3.5 years in, as he says, the last half of that is going to be a nightmare. Yes, that is coming, but that's not what we're talking about right now. He goes on to say this. He said, having made that distinction that there's, he's talking about the persecution now, which we all talk about, I talk about a lot, is not to be confused with the last half of Daniel's 70th week, which we're not in yet, okay? But it's worth noting that the spirit of Antichrist is already at work even now. And this growing Christian persecution is certainly an indicator of the nearness of the Lord's return, and may very well be setting the stage for the end time persecution. Now, I haven't read anything written. I don't even know this guy. I've never read anything by him before. But I haven't read anything like that that was so well put together. And it's so such a good indicator of the way we should be. Christians are being persecuted. They have been since Jesus was on the planet walking, okay, which he doesn't do that anymore. people that are telling you they visit Jesus and he visits them and comes over to their house and they have coffee together, or they get sucked out of the pancake house roof and go to heaven, and all this stuff, it's just junk, it's garbage, it's so hideous. I don't know. If it wasn't so hideous, Jesus would laugh about it, okay? It's laughable. It's actually really happening. It really is happening. That kind of garbage is out there. But he puts it so plainly and so clean. And right now it's small issues. When you look at the perspective of the amount of people there are, it's not hundreds of millions of people are being persecuted. It's not half the world is persecuted now every day, every minute. It's not that way. It's small areas, small pockets, little things. But don't be fooled. Little things do not escape God. Small things do not escape God. The last sentence, the last paragraph, I'd love to read this whole article, but it's a long one. But I want to read this last one because it's extremely important, because these people are talking, okay? In the past few weeks, now these guys are just, okay, listen, Franklin Graham, who I just love him, he's just awesome. I'm going to read at the end here in a few minutes, I'm going to read from his sister in a minute. But Franklin Graham, Todd Starnes, another guy, I think he might be really one of the only true conservative voices that we hear out of Fox News, honestly. The other guys are fine and everything, but he's truly a conservative voice, for real. And others have been warning us about the coming persecution. They have been. Franklin Graham is really bold about it, and Todd is being bold. I pray that he stays bold and doesn't cave so he can keep his job, because he's a very talented young guy. Look at the trend in recent years. Listen to this. Florists, bakers, photographers, the ones that haven't been hit yet, I believe are going to be the next group that are going to be hit, and that's pastors. Because if, in fact, I'm going to stop here for a minute, that florists, bakers, and photographers, remember that. I want to take a rabbit trail for 1 second about pastors, because the Supreme Court is dealing with this issue of redefining marriage. That's what they're doing, redefining marriage. We get our definition of marriage from biblical sources. Otherwise, you just have a good time and stay with the woman or man you want to be with, or the man and the man you want, or whatever you want to do. So if we're going to follow holy matrimony that's covered by God, that's in the church, that's where a lot of people from different denominations actually do agree. Many don't. They think it's okay to have a homosexual relationship. But if they redefine marriage, and it is a national law, and you have to abide by it, pastors are going to be the next ones hit, because they're doing weddings all over. The weddings are being done. Many are being done by pastors. And so all of a sudden it's going to put us in a position where we have to make some decisions. Do we not do any more weddings for anyone that is not in our congregation? You have to be a member of our congregation and blah, 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 and that's what you do. Could be. Then what that's going to do is just make it for a lot of people to do the paper mill ordination or just go to Justice of the Peace or what have you, you know, and who cares if the church is involved at all. That could very well be, and that might be the easiest route for us. But as it is now, back to this, florists, bakers, photographers, and it does say other business owners, because there are being fined, and they're being made to attend sensitivity or diversity training as a result of standing firm in their faith. That's insane. We are having to be reprogrammed, retrained. A chaplain, a Navy chaplain, who was actually the chaplain to the Navy SEALs, special warfare guys, told he could not mention Jesus. I could just go, what are you talking about? That's insane. But it's true. It's actually happened. So I think that the tendency, and it looks like the direction is going to be towards clergy heavily. And that's just the way it's going to be. And obviously it'll be that way. If we're leading people in the spiritual truth, that's got to be a place where they're going to attack, and they're going to do it every way, shape, or form. And it's not going to be enough just to do bakers, you know, get with bakers and florists and photographers. That's not going to be enough. We're going to have to go for the throat. Now, Anne Graham Lotz wrote something today. I got to bring it up because I have it over here. She wrote something today, and it was just, I mean, I don't know. It was so appropriate because nothing is too small for God. Psalm 145:17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. She said, God created snowflakes, no two of which are alike, that we know of. He created a sponge-like pad between the head of a woodpecker and its bill to absorb the shock when the bird strikes a tree. I'm going to stop for a minute because my son was talking to me the other day. He goes, look at a woodpecker, man. How can they do that? Pounding their head. And you can hear them. It echoes through the forest. And how do we know that? It happens at my house. We hear it. We see them. Amazing. God created, back to the article, nerve cells that connect the human body to the brain like tiny telephone wires with messages traveling along them up to 300 miles an hour. That keeps you from burning your hands when you're grabbing something, okay? God's active in very small ways in the universe, on our planet, in our bodies, and in our lives. So, what do you think is so small that it's too small for God to notice? How about a small tear? How about a small hurt feeling? How about a small insult? You think God does this? She wrote something here, it just got me. And you're reading through that and you're going, oh, I'm so thankful that he notices my tear. I'm so thankful that he doesn't notice my hurt feeling. It's small in the scheme of things. I do really am so thankful that he notices that small insult that was brought against me. A small sin. You see, a lot of us get involved in sin, but it's just small. It's small. He notices small sins, whether it's against you or you against someone else. Here's one for you, a small worry. Here's the deal. She ends up with this one sentence. Nothing is too small for the Creator's attention and activity. Now, we could cry that tear or cause someone else to cry it. We could be having our feelings hurt or hurt someone else's. We could be insulted or we could insult someone else. We could have someone sin against us or we could sin against someone else small. Or we could have somebody worry about what's going on in our life. That's not going to add a day to theirs. Or we could worry about something in their life or something about our lives and it's not going to add a single day to our life. That doesn't mean you don't care about anything. But this can go either way. God notices all of it. God notices all of it. And nothing's too small for God. And then the antithesis of that is true. Nothing's too big for God. Let's get a time here in our minds to tune in. Living according to God's word in today's world, again, is no different than it's ever been. It's no different. Oh, we're in modern times and we have modern things and like my son came to pick his daughter up yesterday. We picked her up, and he says, you know what, Dad? People don't have to watch TV. They don't have to read the newspapers. You know, they don't have to listen to the radio about anything that's going on in the world. All they got to do is look at Facebook for a second. One moment, turn on their phone, turn on their laptop, and look at Facebook, and you'll get all the info. Everything that's happening right now. And it's true. So what we have is a mass media. We have media that tells everything or can tell everything about what's happening in the world right now in a second. Instantly. And quite literally, 186,000 miles per second is the speed of light. So I can click on something on my computer and it can hook me up all the way around the world just like that. I can order something, have it shipped and sent to my front porch. It actually happens. It actually really happens. So things are changing in that realm. Here's something that is not changing. Christ's love for you. Christ's desire for you, according to his word. And to let you know that there's nothing too small for God and nothing too big for God. He can handle it all. He'll deal with it all. He wants to deal with you. Do you want to deal with him? Tomorrow is the 6th we will be then gone, as it were, until Monday the 11th, because Thursday is the National Day of Prayer. Have I got that right? Yeah. So at noon, is it noon?
Tomorrow we'll be
here, which is the 6th, but Thursday the 7th is National Day of Prayer. I don't know where y'all live that listen, but you could get with people, probably somewhere in your, if you're in this community, it's right here downtown Stanwood. If you're in a larger city, there's probably a number of places around where there are people are going to gather and pray together and just pray for our nation. And when you do that, think about 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Just go there and read that and see what it actually says. But go and pray for people in government, people, you know, from local to state level to federal level to even international level stuff that's happening, and to corporately get together and pray. Now, the thing is, you run the risk of standing next to a Mormon that thinks that they're a Christian, but you're going to be talking to the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you can pray for all of that. And but that'll be tomorrow, or pardon me, Thursday at noon, your time, wherever you are. If you're back east, it's definitely going to be different than our time. But just pray with people, get together. I'm going to share a little tomorrow, if I can get to that, about what Ann Graham Lotz was saying about the month of May and just making it, basically turning it into a month of prayer, a time of prayer. God said he'd make his house a house of prayer. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he's in you, so you're the house. So you need to be a man or a woman of prayer, going to God, bringing your stuff before him. However you can communicate. You don't have to speak King James English when you speak to God. He understands you. He knows your heart. So speak to him. Go to him. But we'll be here tomorrow. And then after tomorrow, we'll see you on the 11th. But hope you all get out on the 7th. Hope you get to church this weekend. Get some time with the Lord. It'll bless you. You guys have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow at 11 o'clock.